Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Michael Rubino. Thanks for joining for another episode of Mold Talks. Today's special guest is Jessica. Jessica, say hi to everyone, and thank you so much for taking the time today.
Hey, guys. Excited to be here with you, Michael.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, obviously, we're here to talk about mold. And so the first question that I always have is, you know, how did mold come about for you? What was this journey like?
Yeah, well, it's been a journey, we'll say that. But it started originally from my husband's diagnosis of sarcoidosis, which is an autoimmune disease of the lungs. And his physician had told him he was going to deal with it for life, and there was no way that he was going to heal. Of course, as the wife, I didn't accept it like he may have. And so for 3 years, I really started to dive in and try to figure out what root cause was. I didn't even know about functional medicine doctors at that point. And I finally came across some studies from sarcoid patients. And, you know, they were published case studies, and all of these patients had an underlying mold toxicity. And so that led me into researching that functional medicine doctors do those tests. And it actually turns out that both him and I have toxicity. So if it wasn't for his diagnosis, I probably would have never known. And I have my own health issues, but no diagnosis of an autoimmune disease.
Okay. And, you know, what tests did you take, and how did you determine that you did have mold toxicity?
Yeah. So we used a mycotoxin test. I can't remember the name of the company. It may have been Great Plains, but
okay.
We did that. We did a food sensitivity test and then an oat test as well. I mean, it was very, very in depth, to the point where we, you know, realized about myself that because of the mold, I can't absorb any nutrients and my pancreas isn't working as it should. And basically all of my issues are from that mold.
Interesting. And where do you think you guys got the exposure?
Well, both of us have similar mycotoxins and different mycotoxins. So there has to be some from before we were married. So, you know, for me growing up living in a moldy home, I'm not sure about him, but probably because his parents had some roofing issues in their house. But there had to have been a place where both of us were exposed to mold, where we couldn't see it, because, sure, you know, we still don't know where, you know, the similar one came from.
Yeah. And it's really interesting is most of my clients, you know, they don't have obvious signs of mold in their home. You know, it's hidden, it's behind walls, it's in HVACs, it's, you know, under flooring, it's in spaces they don't frequent often enough. So it's very interesting to kind of see that. I think that's why dust testing technology is so helpful, to see what you're exposed to, because, you know, you're picking up stuff that's, you know, not apparently obvious.
Yeah.
And so you said offline that you guys are living a traveling lifestyle. I'm very envious of that, by the way. And so, you know, explain to me a bit about, you know, what you guys are doing in terms of, you know, how are you vetting these places as you go from place to place to ensure that there's no mold there?
Yeah, so that's a very good question, because once I found out that we had this mold toxicity, we actually just joined the travel team. So, you know, this mold toxicity diagnosis happened in the last 4 months. So we've been in the same location. And what is it called? The ERMI test, I think.
I'm sure. Yeah. Anyway.
So I had that done where we currently are right now, but it is challenging because my husband and his employer pays for us to live. So, you know, we don't really have much of a say where we go. However, you know, in this one location for 4 or 5 months right now. So I don't know if I'm going to do that same ERMI test. You probably could tell me what is best for me to do moving forward, being in place as shorter periods of time, but it is definitely a concern because I know you can't heal living in mold. So right. I don't want to spend all that money for no reason.
No, it makes sense. I mean, you know, any test that can help identify different species and different quantities of spores that are in the environment that you're breathing in, because as we all know, we breathe in our dust. If you ever sat on a couch on a sunny day and saw that ray of light peek through the window, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So yeah, it's really important. You know, what's in our dust gets in our bodies. So I think that is a great way to kind of look at that. Obviously that comes with some challenges, you know, especially because you don't have a say in what place you stay in. Hopefully with some testing, and if you bring this to the employer and say, look, this place has an issue and I'm trying to heal here. Hopefully that'll arm you with some information to be able to notify the employer when you're in a space that isn't so good. You know, my company does a lot of traveling for remediation. And, you know, if we obviously don't know all the hotels we're booking and making sure that they're safe, anytime we get notified that a place is, you know, just not a good place, not safe, the air quality is not good, you know, we immediately rearrange things to put employees in better places. So hopefully it's something the employer would consider if you guys did find something that wasn't going to be adequate for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because living in a hotel is a possibility.
Yeah.
I did that for 3 months.
And how was that, by the way? Did you enjoy living in a hotel versus like where you have a place now with like a kitchen?
We're in a fully furnished condo right now. So that obviously is way better than living in a hotel. But yeah, I mean, that spurred me on to have one of those little propolis machines and to buy an air doctor, because, you know, I mean, that was, we were figuring things out then. I didn't even know we had the mold toxicity when we were living there at that point. Yeah. So I would feel a little bit different about going back to a hotel now versus how I felt before. But yeah, it was challenging, but we figured it out.
So, you know, obviously you explained a little bit about your husband. What were some of the symptoms that you guys were feeling when you were first dealing with mold toxicity?
Yeah, so both of us experienced completely different symptoms, which I thought was interesting. For my husband, you know, he's fatigued all the time. That's probably the number one thing. His eyes are affected. They're always real dry. And sometimes he has blurry vision. And then, you know, he has the sarcoidosis of the lungs. So it mainly attacks him there, where, you know, he has difficulty breathing sometimes. And, you know, he has the inhaler, but he also has brain fog, low libido, you know, and these are things that, you know, as you get older, you know, that's kind of at first what he was chalking it up to, like, hey, we're just getting older. I'm like, man, what you mean we're getting older? You are 36, you know? So those were his. And then for me, mine were more minor things that I just kind of accepted. And in fact, I'm dealing with it now when we speak. I mean, I have a chronic dry mouth. My mouth can be dry when it's filled with water. Sometimes it feels like, you know, my throat is, I just have difficulty swallowing, like there's a lump there almost. You know, I have the anemia, so cold hands, cold feet, that causes me to be tired all the time. I pee 10,000 times a day. I probably am dehydrated, because if I need to do something and be out of the house, I literally can't drink water. I wouldn't even, if I drank a bottle of water, I wouldn't be able to go to the grocery store without having to pee one or two times while I'm there. So, I have the difficulty concentrating and the brain fog as well. I actually just filed a disability claim for this for my job. I'm a financial advisor for a living, and it affects me being able to do the planning that I do and build the complex financial plans.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah, I was on Camp Lejeune yesterday, Army base, for a legal case that I'm an expert witness on. And I mean, it was really bad, to say the least. Within 30 minutes of being in there, my chest started to get tight, kind of like, you know, when you go swimming for too long, you know, like that swimmer's lung. That's what it felt like. And today, as I woke up, I was very sluggish today, dealing with a little bit of brain fog, definitely. And I got this tickle in my throat. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I sound a little different than usual today. And also, like, my just got like a weird thing happening in my sinus, like itchy sinus thing going on. So it's very interesting. this place was pretty bad. You saw things visibly. So when you see things visibly, it typically is showing more signs of how bad it is. But even if it wasn't visible, it's very possible I could have had these effects.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you like how this really can attack quickly. For me to start feeling in 30 minutes, already starting to develop, sinus and cold like symptoms the following day. Before that I was totally fine. I mean, so it's for some people, it reacts pretty quickly. For some people more slowly, it really just depends on the types, the quantities, et cetera. But you said that you and your husband had different symptoms. I remind people that that's just how illness works. When my family got COVID this past year, my wife and I, same strain, we're all exposed to the same thing. However, she had completely different symptoms than I did. I mean, I had like fever, sweats, brain fog, fatigue. I mean, I was in bed for like 3 days straight.
Wow.
Where she was more active and really was totally fine, just had lost her sense of taste and smell. But I didn't lose my sense of taste and smell. So it's very strange, right? But
yeah,
we all, the just to remind people is we all react differently. It doesn't mean that it's not affecting us. It just means that it's affecting us differently. And, there's different symptoms associated with how our body reacts to things. Symptoms are reactions from the body. Right. And I think people need to remember that it's not, like mold doesn't cause these symptoms. What happens is mold provokes a reaction in the body in the form of symptoms. And I think people try to hold on to symptoms sometimes. And I think it doesn't help the whole cause, because obviously every single person is uniquely different. And so it makes things a little more difficult to trace back, but that's why we have testing for, right? Test, don't guess.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you guys are now that you're aware, you're more conscious of your environment. Great. You obviously know that you had mold toxicity. So I'm guessing you're now detoxing and you're working on removing mold from your body and improving the symptomatology that you guys are experiencing. What's that like right now? Are you guys both on that same path?
I wish I could answer to that is yes. my husband believes in Western medicine more than, I'm on the other side of things where I'm working with the functional medicine doctor and using a more natural approach. So he has not started his detox yet. But yes, I have. So there, I take probably 8 different supplements right now, from, a pathogen killer to a binder, so that it can, bind the toxicities in my body and remove them. And then I also do the infrared sauna. The goal is to do that 2 to 3 times a week. I also support the liver by doing the castor oil wax and coffee enemas. Some people think that those are taboo, but those, they work. And supporting the liver and producing in the body, which is a master antioxidant. So, I'm doing that. And I'm probably 6 weeks in right now. And I'm pretty sure I've experienced some of the HERC symptoms through that 6-week process, which I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Through the detox. But I thought that it was part HERCs and then part viral that I was fighting off. So that's been tough.
There's a smart saying I once read, and it says the way out is the way through.
Amen.
And sometimes you go through it to get out to the other side, and I think it's just par for the course, unfortunately. But that's what builds that's what makes us stronger. That's what builds our immune system. That's what makes things work. If you don't go through it, you don't learn from it, you don't adapt to it, et cetera, et cetera. And I think with mold, because mold is obviously part of our ecosystem, it's something we have to learn to live with, right? Through that, it's creating safe havens and safe environments. is a key, right? Because you spend more time indoors than anywhere else.
Yeah.
But also we can't fret because we're going to be exposed outside. We're going to be exposed in other people's places. And so we do have to kind of go through this and improve our immune systems and help adapt. It's really definitely part of the process. And I always love that saying, the way it out is the way through. Going back to your husband for a second, just to kind of there, I wanted to let you know of a term that I think may be helpful. There's something called integrative medicine. Have you heard of that?
Yes, but I'm not too familiar with it.
Okay, so integrative medicine is both Western medicine and functional medicine combined.
Okay.
So these are doctors that believe in Western medicine and also like getting to the root cause of functional medicine. And so they call it integrative medicine. So with your husband, potentially an integrative medicine doctor might be the best approach, because if you're someone who likes Western medicine, you're used to it, you're because obviously there's uses and things that Western medicine does that's important,
Yeah.
right? So bringing those two fields together is really helpful for someone who might have never been introduced to functional medicine before. Yeah, I grew up in a household where my parents were very gung-ho about natural remedies versus prescription medication and antibiotics and things of that nature. And of course, when there was time for me to take antibiotics or time for me to take prescriptions, I had to do that. And it wasn't like completely taboo, but when there was more natural and organic methods, that was always preferred.
Yeah.
And following that root cause always was the point of what we're trying to get and accomplish here. So I just wanted to share that with you because maybe that could be a step in the right direction for your husband, where he can get the best of both worlds and can understand how some of these more natural remedies may be helpful to, especially when paired with some of these pharmaceutical drugs and things of that nature. I think that might be helpful for anyone listening, including you, who might struggle with, oh, I want an MD, or I want it to be Western medicine, because there are developments there, but we're not all the way there yet.
Yeah. Well, hey, if he's on board with that, I'm going to give you some residual income, okay?
Well, I hope that that works out well for you. So just going back into, where things are versus where things are going to go, you guys, you have started your journey. Your husband is going to be following behind you. What does the future look like? What is the goal here? Is it to continue to perfect your environment? Are you guys going to eventually stop traveling and settle back down and create a healthy space? What are the future plans for you?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We don't really know the answer for that. For me, I mean, definitely health and wholeness in my body and having my energy back. I mean, that's number one for me. As far as, ultimately we want to take them somewhere at some point, but right now it's we don't know how long we'll be on the travel team and what that will look like. But yeah, I mean, as we go, we're trying to adapt to the environment that we're in and making sure that it is a healthy space for us to be in the meantime. And I know when we start the home buying process, my realtor better have some grace for me because I will be doing mold testing in all of the house.
That's smart. You got to protect yourself, and I think that's where a lot of people get hurt. I mean, I've had many clients over the years where first time home buyers or bought a house and moved in, and then they got sick. And when you're buying a house, typically the way the house buying process works is kind of an interesting process, because we always just go to our mortgage company and say, how much house can I afford? Good, I'm going to go with that. And you kind of have your marching orders from there. But what people don't realize, when you buy at the height of what you can afford, then you have to be able to accept that house as is.
Yeah.
Because, if you can't afford, if you buy at the top of the market and you can't afford to, put any money into the house when you move in, it's going to create some difficulties. I mean, when I buy a house, I say, what's my budget? Good. Let me spend 25% less of
Yeah.
that so that I can, have money to maneuver if need be, because I think in with my experience, a bit different. I buy houses that I know need work, and then I put money into that and, you know, have the equity left over to be able to move in, know that I'm not going to be underwater, and ensure that the house is going to be safe for me and my family. But if you don't go into it like that, buying a home, and you're looking to buy something move-in ready, well, then you should expect that there's going to be a couple hidden problems. You know, HVAC's going to, at the very least, need to be cleaned. The house will need to be cleaned. You know, these are things that people don't realize or go into it with that mindset, and they just, let me buy a house, let me ERMI every house, and then let me see where it's at. And you know, you could end up ERMIing 15, 20 houses before you find one, which obviously costs money there. And it's just a difficult journey to go down into. I mean, if you kind of go into the mindset like, this is a great bones, I know if I put this amount of money into it, I can fix all of these problems. This is at, you know, at the lower end of my budget, so I'll have room left over. It makes the process a lot easier because, you know, finding a needle in a haystack or a diamond in the rough can be very stressful.
Yeah, true.
Hopefully that makes some sense to you and gives you some tips for when you are ready to buy.
Yeah, absolutely. I have that as the financial advisor in me too, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
You're right. You said use 100% of your budget. I felt that in
Well, you know, as an financial advisor, then how the typical person operates financially. I mean, I think that's it's needs to be said, because you know, somebody listening could be like, ah, I'm about to buy a house, and you're right, maybe I
Yes.
shouldn't use the top of my budget and make sure, because you know, it's, we always want the best location, we always want the most square feet, you know, these are things that just kind of happen in that real estate mindset, but we also want healthy homes, and
Yep.
healthy homes are hard to find but easy to create. And I think, you know, the people just have to be of that mindset to know that you're in control. You know, if you buy a house and you figure out what the problems are and it makes sense for you to move forward, then you can fix them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time today to meet with me and kind of share your story. There's just really two questions that I have left. That you know, I think are always kind of fun and interesting to provide some perspective on. Knowing what you know today, what would you tell your younger self who was, you know, kind of dealing with these health issues that you know, were probably took a lot longer to get to the root cause as you would have liked? What would you tell your younger self?
Well, the first thing that came into my mind, it was a lot of times we fight our symptoms that our body shows us, and we try to medicate those symptoms instead of realizing that they're our body sending us clues that there's some type of inflammation or problem that's going on, and it's trying to signal us before there's full-blown inflammation and full-blown disease. So if I would have realized that back in 2014 before I had my gallbladder removed, you know, and realized, hey, some of these things, there's something causing these problems. That would be what I would say.
Yeah, wow. It's crazy the surgeries we go through and the things that we do without, you know, really vetting what the root cause is.
You got that right.
So the other question that I have is another, you know, could be fun one, provide some unique perspective is, you know, what's one good piece of advice you can offer somebody who may be struggling with, you know, mold toxicity today? That's listening to this episode, you know, trying to learn as much as they can. You know, what's something that a piece of advice you can give to that person?
Yes. The best way for me to combine all of the knowledge that I have in a short answer is to subscribe to Dr. Jess. She has a Wellness Plus course that I bought a subscription, and all the resources that you could ever want on how to heal. Her goal is to help you become your own doctor, to know the language, to know basically what to do. So I would suggest following her on her social media handles if you don't already, and be the investment age and then learn everything you need to know.
That's amazing. Dr. Jess Pietros, a good friend of mine, a mole warrior, and she is a wealth of information. So, yes, for those who may have not have stumbled upon Dr. Jess, definitely take a look.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today and sharing your story. I really appreciate it, and I know those listening do as well. So, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, so I Instagram and Facebook. My Instagram handle is Kingdom or Nothing with underscore between each of the words. It's kind of complicated, I know.
Kingdom
So,
underscore or underscore nothing.
and then another underscore at the
And
end.
another underscore at the end. Okay, good thing
Yeah,
I asked.
and they may ask if they want to follow away or because I'm always posting on there, so just
All right. Well, thank you for that little disclaimer. Jess, this has been a great chat. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your story. I really appreciate it, and we'll be in touch.
awesome. Thanks for having me, Michael. Have a good one.